back on side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another Elm Park Royal podcast in association with Blue Collar Street Food. Before we even get started with any of the podcasts today, obviously last night was pretty horrible in one way, and that was the moment that happened with John Fleck, and everyone associated with the podcast just, you know, sent him our best wishes. It sounds like he's been discharged from Royal Barks, and everything's pretty positive on that front. So if you haven't seen it, he kind of collapsed on the pitch, and it was a pretty horrible moment for everyone involved. You know, I can't imagine what those Sheffield United players were thinking, especially. So I always hate it when people say credit to them for playing on, because they don't really have that much choice. But like, I'm just happy that he's okay. And best wishes. Anyway, on with the rest of the podcast. I'm joined today by Jack, Analytics 1871. How you doing, Jack?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Much warmer than I was, and fractionally less miserable than about 10 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah, when it's so cold, it does not help when you have a game of football that is not particularly exciting to watch. I'm also joined by Nick. How are you, Nick?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Matt. Yeah, same. Better to be in the warm than the cold last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give your Twitter handle out, but Jack very cleverly puts him in his little video, and otherwise I'd never remember it. Anyway, so start of the match, team sheet comes out. There's one change, and it's Deli Bashiru in for Tom Holmes. In some ways, that is a bit of a surprise, because obviously I think everyone thought Tom Holmes was excellent on Saturday. In another sense, it's just moving Andy Yeardon back into his actual position. Nick, when that team sheet came out, what were you thinking?
I couldn't believe he'd dropped Tom Holmes. He's been playing quite well. Saturday in particular, he was man of the match. I think most people would agree with that. He shows a maturity beyond his years. He's only 21. And I think the way Liam Moore's been playing as well, I don't understand how he could justify dropping Tom Holmes over Liam Moore if he had to pick between the three of the centre-backs. I mean, Moore made the mistake against Birmingham, didn't cover himself in glory on Saturday. I thought he was awful, to be honest, against Forest, and it's partly to blame for the goal as well. And Tom Holmes was fantastic. I think he made one misplaced pass, and other than that, he was just fantastic and solid. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't understand it. It took me a long time to get it in my head that had happened. If someone's out of form, is your club captain, I don't see why he's... Panovic seems to be blindly loyal to players that aren't performing. That's just not just Liam Moore, that's Josh Laurent, that's Ovi Ejaria, and you could probably name a couple of others, but those three in particular are not performing, and there's blind loyalty there, it seems.
It's quite funny that you raised other two, because I thought that Laurent on Saturday had quite a good game. And I also think that when you see the setup of the team, Jack, it kind of makes sense. I mean, Moore and Holmes, yeah, you can debate that till the cows come home. Obviously, we don't have insight behind the scenes, so maybe there's something going on there. But once you see the setup and it's this kind of 4-3-2-1 Christmas tree type formation, I think it does become a little bit more apparent why Lauren, and to an extent Ovi, because he is quite good defensively, why they're still playing.
I think it does. I think, you know, particularly in that midfield area, whilst players are coming back from injury and you don't want to throw them in right away, the options aren't huge. I think the change was more to try and change the formation to set up against Sheffield United than Holmes had played in any way, anything other than brilliantly against Sheffield United. I think there's a question as to whether that's how we should have set up or whether we should have tried to keep with a fairly similar system that's done okay for the past couple of games. But I think if you're going to set up in that 4-3-2-1, which is a bit of a question mark for me, particularly after how the second half started to unfold, I think it makes a level of sense to have both Lauren and Ejaria there when the other options aren't necessarily fully fit yet. On the sort of more question, I kind of think if there was a game right after Birmingham, that would probably have been the time to have sort of moved him out. or at least given him a bit of a break from the starting lineup. I think he sort of was a beneficiary of the international break and a bit more of a reset and thinking about, okay, do we want to go back to what would be our typical back four? But I think he has sort of benefited a little bit from being club captain and putting in a series of fairly average performances. And I think when you're the club captain, that makes you, whether it should make you slightly harder to drop, I don't know. But I think the fact is that it has, in Moore's instance, made him slightly harder to drop. I'd hope to see Holmes come back into the side before too long, particularly because I don't think things worked super well yesterday, second half. But I think that the way Paunovic decided to set up, it was probably the 11 that you would have expected, and didn't take the decision to drop more.
Yeah, I mean, and that set up, as you kind of mentioned, Jack, that was entirely about, as far as I can tell, at least, negating Sheffield United. And the comments that Paunovic made after the game were a bit strange to me. He kind of said that the team were fatigued and that it was something to do with, like, it was a bit of a dull game and it was to do with the players. But he set up the team to make that kind of game, Nick. And it worked, right? Like, first 45 minutes were horrible to watch, but that was in part because Reading were shutting down every avenue. The problem is, once we won the ball, we just didn't really know what to do with it, it felt.
Yeah, it was two really boring sides with no creation, no ideas. Both teams just nullified each other with probably some fairly good organisation. I mean, I was a bit confused with our midfield. It was a bit over the place. I'm not sure the players knew where they were playing, if I'm honest. But yeah, there's literally no creation for either side. That should have really been a 0-0 game yesterday. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case and we lost the game. But John Swift didn't have a good game. I don't know if he just wasn't sure where he was supposed to play or if he just didn't get into the game or what the reason was for that. And he's our creator. And without John Swift creating, we've got little else. And we just didn't really have anything going forward. Ovi was quite deep. Laurent plays higher forward when Drinkwater plays, and I don't think they suit each other as a two. They don't work well as a duo. I think Laurent sort of misses Rhino, and I think Drinkwater suits Deli Bashiru, and there's just the cohesion on the pitch just isn't working with the players that are being selected at the moment. But there was just no ideas when we went forward with it. Puskas, I don't think he was anything to blame with him last night. He had nothing going for him. No support going forward. Deli Bashiru was quiet. I don't think he did much at all yesterday. I forgot he was on the pitch for half an hour. But it just didn't work. It was just a very boring setup. And the tempo is just so slow. And how can a team worry about defending when you're passing it around so slowly and taking, I mean, even Drinkwater, it takes 5 minutes to decide what pass to make. And it's not going to get you anywhere. There's no directive. There's no direct play. There's no direction on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Paunovic, I think the team knew exactly what they were doing out of possession. And I thought that, you know, it was kind of like Ejaria, Drinkwater and Laurent, they were quite deep. And that was to negate Gibbs White and McGoldrick. Like the wide forwards kind of, you know, just had no space to work with. And then Swift and Deli Bashiru, they kind of pushed up and held Fleck and Norwood. And that was all working. But yeah, like, and Callum has mentioned this on the pod before. It feels like there are no patterns of play that Reading kind of fall back on when things aren't going well. And Nick, as you say, especially like Danny Drinkwater had a couple of opportunities to switch it where we had clear overloads on one side and he just wasn't playing those balls. And late in the game, we started going long and going long to George Puskas. And as weird as it was, that was working, but we didn't try that once in the first half, Jack. Like, what was the issue, do you feel? Like, was it just, as Nick says, a lack of cohesion and the fact that the squad was picked to defend, not to attack?
Yeah, there was absolutely no urgency from either side in the first half. At halftime, it sort of felt like both teams would probably take a 0-0. Both teams are quite content with the fact that it's going to be a mistake or an accidental moment of brilliance that is going to nick a 1-0 win. And I feel like defensively, whilst the shape worked for the first half, the one thing it did do was put absolutely no pressure on the wing-backs of Stevens or Bogle, who were able to get into decent crossing areas fairly regularly without too much trouble during that first half. And okay, the front line for Sheffield United is not the biggest, so Dan and Moore were able to do a pretty good job of cleaning that up, and that's why there was never much problem in the first half. But as the game develops, that's where they end up isolating somebody against Babar Akman later on, and that doesn't work quite so well. I think then when it comes to sort of being on the ball, Puskás was making a ton of leads throughout the first half in particular, and was getting visibly quite frustrated about the ball not being played through. I think Blade's set up with quite a high line, so there's a limited amount of direct running he can do in behind without just being offside all the time. And there was one moment in particular, I think, when Puskás sort of made a lead off the shoulder of the defender. Ajaria has a look to play him, almost plays him, thinks second of it. Puskás makes a lead in the opposite direction. Same thing happens where Ajaria almost decides to play the ball and then turns back the other way and then loses the ball. And you sort of think, if we're going to take that long to try and work out what we're going to do and then lose the ball anyway, we may as well actually have a bit of a go at least once. And I don't think it was until about the 40th minute when we actually tried to play something through to Puskás, and what ended up happening was that their defenders had to make the clearance and we were able to win a throw in fairly high up the pitch. And you think, actually, if we just do that a little bit more, it will enable us to break out, because all that was happening was Puskás was the only one putting any pressure on any Sheffield United player when they had the ball, and we were sat so deep for so much of that first half that there was never an ability for us to really show much, bar Yeardham deciding to have a wander down the right hand side every now and then. So there's never really much of a plan or much of an idea as to how we could actually link up with the forward line.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for Puskás at points last night, just waving John forward to try John Swift forward to try and press. And I don't think that was necessarily the right thing to do, but obviously it is very frustrating where it's just you up there by yourself, like not able to win the ball back against three centre backs. Yeah, so Nick, like second half starts, like we'd kept them quiet in the first half, or maybe even that isn't fair. Like it feels like Reading are starting halves quite slowly at the minute, because early on in the first half is probably where Sheffield United had their best chances. We gave away a couple of fouls, which led to a free kick, and that led to some corners and whatnot. And then just before Jaden Bogle scores, he has a big chance again. And Southwood makes a tremendous save, to be fair. Like, I thought it was 1-0 at that point, Nick.
Yeah, they were trying to walk it in. I think Sheffield United at the time, we were very exposed at the back. It was up the other end of the pitch to me. But I think they did the right thing with passing it across and not being, you know, we saw Grabander on Saturday for Forest. We should have squared it and it's a goal. I think they did the right thing. I haven't seen it back, actually, but it looked the right thing at the time. Southwood came out, I think. Who was it? Do you know who had the one-on-one with Southwood?
I think that was Bogle as well. It was Bogle Jack's as well. Nodding, yeah.
Yeah, Bogle. So he maybe took too long and Southwood closed the gap. Made a really good save. He's such a reliable goalkeeper, as we say every week at the minute. He deserves more clean sheets, unfortunately, but he hasn't had more than he's got. I think he's had three. He should be on a lot more. He's been unlucky, been let down by other players. But we got away with that one, and that should have been the wake-up call. And unfortunately, it wasn't. They scored their next opportunity after that. But yeah, we do start half slow. We have a couple of minutes where we start quite well, and then we go really bad for the rest of a half, or we start really slowly and then we pick up about 20 minutes in. And it's just a pattern that I don't know. I don't think that's been the case since Panovic. I think that's been the case for a long time now from previous managers. So I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the set of players. There's a core number of players that have been here about 5 years or so now. Maybe it's something to do with the players we've got.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember last season. Oh, it was so long ago. But I remember there being a thread about the first 15 minutes of games and how Reading was just absolutely dire. And obviously, we've conceded in the first 5 minutes in the last two games, managed to make it through the first half here. Mm. That Jaden Bogle shot was 3 minutes into the second half. As Nick says, warning sign. But Jack, Reading don't kind of react to it, and he scores 5 minutes later.
Yeah, and it's the most frustrating thing in some ways about this is that this is not by any stretch of the imagination the first, oh, somebody's not marked the guy on the far post and they've tapped it in goal that we've conceded this month, let alone this season. I think it's unfortunate that in this instance is Baba Rahman, who I thought otherwise had a pretty reasonable game at left back. But he's sort of caught in no man's land where he can't win the header from the ball in, and nor is he within 5 yards of the player he's supposed to be marking at any point. It's a very good run from Bogle. I think he does well to get on the end of it, and it's a very good finish. But I think we should still be cutting that cross out. But when, as for the pretty much whole game, we've been letting people put balls into the box with relatively little pressure, particularly from those sorts of slightly deeper positions, you know, it wasn't like there wasn't a warning sign throughout the game, and it's not like this hasn't been a problem. You think back to the very first game of the season against Stoke. I think the first goal we conceded there was a ball, a free kick that goes through to the far post, and then sort of against Bournemouth more recently as well, sort of a ball across to the far post, somebody loses their man and somebody taps it in. I think it was possibly Solanke on that day. And I think it's a fairly consistent issue, and one that teams are clearly quite alive to, and a bit frustrating when you know, have had the warning sign 3 minutes early that we're still not picking up the player, and it's effectively the same issue recurring throughout the season.
I mean, I would love for us now to talk about how Reading kind of threw the kitchen sink at stuff, and to be fair, we probably did in terms of the way that we then made substitutes and whatnot. I can't remember the last time Panovic made three subs, to be fair, so that's something, I guess. But there really isn't anything. Like, the one thing that everyone keeps bringing up on Twitter, on the old Twitter, is Andy Carroll's shot, and that's from 35 yards, Nick. Like, it just never felt like we were going to get close to equalising.
Yeah, Carroll again lifts us. He's probably the only positive out of last night. He came on and he seemed to give us a bit something going forward. I know it didn't come to anything and he had that shot, but he put himself about. I do think he needed a Femi Azeez type to go alongside him. And it's obvious that Femi's obviously not fit enough, but why put him on the bench if you can't bring him on even for the last 2 or 3 minutes? It just doesn't. You might as well have Mamadi Kamara on the bench again, or Kelvin Iheanacho or something like that. You know, it just makes no sense to have someone you can't bring on, because he would have been perfect when we're chasing a game. Flick-ons, running on to them, pacing behind. And that's what we lacked yesterday. We, like you said, we didn't throw the kitchen sink. I think they were trying to go forward, and Liam Moore went forward and kept getting called offside annoyingly. But we just didn't create anything. And there was no, what annoys me is there was no, we didn't force Sheffield United into panic defending and last ditch defending. It was pretty easy for them, to be honest. And it's a shame because we had the bodies on. I mean, I don't understand why I put Tom Holmes on for as a change in formation, but why take a job? I know he wasn't playing well, but why take him off for a centre back? If you didn't want to bring Azeez on, maybe just bring Tetic on and at least have a midfielder on who can sort of play the ball forward. And I just don't understand what was going on and what the plan was. It just didn't, whatever it was, it just didn't work and nothing materialised.
Yeah, and it's annoying because, like, we kind of talked about Andy Carroll coming on Saturday and how big that was for us, Jack. And part of that was the change that it forced, not Swansea, because that's not Cooper's team anymore, Nottingham Forest into. But it just, yeah, Sheffield, as Nick kind of says, like, there was no panic even after Andy Carroll came on. They just seemed so comfortable the whole half.
Yeah, Nick's absolutely right. I think that it was so comfortable for United to see that out. There was never, you know, there were a couple of balls into the box. A couple of times Puskás or Carroll were hiding behind the keeper rather than gambling on the near post. There's maybe one header where Carroll goes through a couple of defenders to get to it that was a little bit exciting, at least the first bit of sort of anything resembling physicality that had been shown throughout the entire game. But I think for me, the big frustration was the Halilovic substitution could have been about 20 minutes earlier, and either for Dali Bashiri or, if Panovic was feeling particularly bold, could have been for Swift, who I thought had a particularly poor game in not his more natural role within the team, I think. I think sort of Halilovic, when he's played so far this season, has actually brought a little bit of that incisiveness that maybe we've been missing when we start playing in and around the box. And we did get to that sort of stage a bit towards the end of stoppage time. And I think when he came on, he looked fairly bright. I'd like to see him get a few more minutes. I think when you've got someone like Carroll, it's about the quality of cross that we need to start putting in and not just the volume, because there was quite a lot of let's just lump it up and hope that something exciting happens. And actually, I think somebody like Halilovic with his deliveries that have been quite good at times this season, Swift's were not working at all yesterday. Just think maybe he chalks it down to one of those days. But I think ultimately we need to actually think about, okay, if we're going to bring Carroll on, what's our method of using him in his most effective? Because it's not going to be 35-yard shots. As good as the shot was, like the keeper is always going to save it when he's got that much time. So I think we just need to actually work out a structured plan of attacking when we bring him on. And it will probably involve crosses, but that means that we've got to get better at the ones that we actually deliver, because it was pretty abject throughout much of yesterday. And as Nick says, incredibly comfortable for Sheffield United.
I'm kind of becoming increasingly convinced that our best crosses of the ball are George Puskas and Andy Carroll, and that's probably not ideal. But Nick, I've read your tweets, Nick. I know what you feel about Paunovic. Do you think that the fact that Andy Carroll can't play 90 minutes, I don't think he's up for starting. Halilovic, Aziz, we've got all these players to come back. Is that not a good enough excuse for him anymore? Should he have found a better way of playing last night in particular?
Yeah, last night in particular, because we have the options. I don't like his comments about tiredness, and Sheffield United are tired too. They've all had 2 weeks off apart from about 3 players with international duty. I don't understand what he's talking about. It's the championship. He's managed over a year in the championship now, and last year was harder than other years because it was more compressed. So the fatigue chat, we've got a big enough squad. I know we've had injuries, we've got a big enough squad. It's just a load of rubbish, isn't it, really? It's become boring. And I honestly don't think we've had a good start in 11 most weeks, apart from the first handful of games, even with the injuries. And I know they did tire in most games, but I don't think we've really played well this season at all. Maybe Fulham, but that felt like more of an FA Cup final. A better team, did a job on them away. Great. Everyone did their job. It's fantastic to watch. Middlesbrough and Preston probably had 2 of our easier games this season. Only scraped them 1-0. It's not good enough. That Blackpool game, I think we were rubbish in that first half where we were 2-0 up. I thought Blackpool showed signs that they were going to come at us, and they won 3-2 and they deserved it. And I just don't think, and we haven't looked good since the back end of last season, probably since February. It's just not good enough. The problem is with FFP, what can we do? Does it affect us if we sack him or Gardening leave? What can you get in? Probably not a lot. And with the restrictions in place, who wants the job? So I know it's not simple, but I worry with Paunovic in charge. He's just, there's a lot of things I do like about him, but where it matters, I don't like a lot about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan said this on the last pod he was on, kind of that he's found it very difficult to understand and critique Paunovic because he's had, let's be fair to him, he has had a lot of problems over his time here, whether that's injuries, whether that's FFP, whether that's, you know, all of these different things going on. Jack, I mean, the number of games he's won in the last, you know, well, this season, all season pretty much, hasn't been great. Is he now... It's so hard to say, is he coming to the end or is he coming to crunch time? Because as Nick says, FFP might play a massive role in this. Like, if we cannot afford to sack our manager, then it doesn't matter how bad the results are.
Yeah, exactly. And even if we can, there's a bit of a question as to whether we want to get back on Kia's merry-go-round of managers that he quite likes, and whether, you know, that is going to be something that's in any way useful for us moving forward. I think it's tricky with Paunovic. I think last night, you know, he's got players returning from injury, probably doesn't want to start them straight away, as sort of discussed on the November chat about the injuries with Ben. But I think that this is now the time when he needs to show that he can take a team that has got players and has, as of now, got enough depth within the bench to actually kick on and move away from the relegation zone. I think, yeah, over the past few months, it's been very, very challenging. And I don't think that there are a ton of managers that would have done much better over the past few months with the injuries that we have had. But I think the thing that I find quite tricky is last night, I think the system and some of the changes that he made arguably did affect the result. And I think that there is a bit of a question as to whether what should have been a fairly comfortable 0-0 is in some ways down to some of the system changes that he's made. On the other hand, I can't really think of too many games where Paunovic has made a particular system change or a substitution where you think, oh, that's won us the game, or that's got us a point. And I think that's where over the next few games, assuming he gets a few games, that's what he's got to start showing, is that he has the ability and not just rely on, oh, Swift's quite good every now and then, or, oh, there's Ajaria working some magic against Fulham. I think actually he needs to start showing that he, as the manager, is capable of taking us forward rather than relying on a couple of brilliant individual performances. I don't personally think that it's time for him yet. I think he does deserve a little bit still. I don't think that there's much that can be gained by getting rid of him. But I think it is getting to the stage where he needs to start giving reasons to get either a contract extension towards the end of the year or a reason why he should be able to see that contract out.
Yeah, I mean, my personal take on this is like last night, I think we saw the best and the worst of Paunovic in some ways. Like I, as I've said throughout this podcast, like I could understand the system out of possession. And I think we did a good job in that. It made it a very boring watch, which is a whole nother thing. Like I didn't enjoy watching Mark Bowen and would have been perfectly happy to get rid of him just on that basis, pretty much. So I'd rather we don't do that every week. But yeah, we are a team, and I can't remember if I said this on the pod before or whether it was somewhere else, but like people say about Manchester United that the reason that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was winning games was because of individual quality. And like Reading to me feel a lot like that. Like we have some players who are clearly like too good for this level in some ways, like John Swift is one of them. And as you say, Jack, like you can't rely on him to do that every week. Like it will work on many occasions, but on others it won't. And especially given John Swift's injury history, like it's the same thing with relying on Lucas Jow. Like at some point that is gonna go wrong, and like you know, successive managers now have relied on Lucas Jow and look where they've ended up once he's got injured. So yeah, it really is a tough one. That said, like if Kia is the one pulling the strings behind the scenes, as kind of the Athletic say, it almost doesn't matter, right? Like,
yeah, it's worrying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was actually an article on the Athletic this week about like, do you even need a manager? And like, whilst it was a bit ridiculous, like the central tenet of the argument was that the players are more important than the manager, and Reading need to have, and Nick, you've said we have a big squad. We do have a big squad, but it would be nice if that big squad was fully fit with our first choice 11. And as Jack says, now that is starting to be the case, I think Paunovic really does have to start picking up results. Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen to him. He'll end up, I don't know, where do old managers end up? Reading managers out of a job if it's Mark Bowen, or don't know what Jose Gomez is doing nowadays. He was at Almeria for a bit, but that didn't go great for him either.
He's back in Saudi, I think.
Is he? Oh, what's
that? His old club there, yeah. I think he went back there last I saw.
But yeah, he did for like a third time, didn't he?
Yeah, he's gone back there. Yeah, what you said about Ollie and Manchester United as a comparison—that's exactly it. That's how I feel. It's, you know, he's getting saved a bit. There's not really any direction. I'm not sure, as Matt, a lot of Man U fans said, they didn't understand the style they're playing or the direction. That's how I'm starting to feel with Paunovic and Reading at the moment.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily feel that we are getting better either as a team or as individuals. Yeah. Either like that is a slightly worrying trend for me. But then again, I would have said the exact opposite at this time last season. So it is just, it's very difficult when he's got so many injuries, and And I personally am probably not at the stage where, like Jack, not at the stage where I think he should go right now, because I think that there have been reasons for the current form, but now those reasons are starting to go. He needs to step up. And I know there are people listening to this podcast that will not like that and think that he should have stepped up long before now. And that's perfectly reasonable. I think, I don't think anyone is saying that Paunovic is doing an exceptional job. It's more just the state that Reading are in. Shall we look forward very quickly to the Swansea game? That's another sort of semi-difficult trip, Jack. I'm not sure it's going to go much better than it did on Tuesday.
No, I think Swansea are at the minute, if you take the last eight games, third in the Championship form table, which does not give me...
That's what they said about Forest, though.
Yeah, it just doesn't fill me with a lot of hope. Obviously, we saw them, they're under a new manager this season in Russell Martin, who came over from MK Dons. We saw them beat the kids in the League Cup. They looked all right. Looked like they played some quite nice football. My concern is that we will go into that game with a fairly similar mindset as the Sheffield United game of, we're going to let them have the ball. And I think that there is only so much that we can do that before actually some of our defensive frailties, particularly when teams can start to move that ball with a little bit more sort of direction in the final third than at times Sheffield United did last night. I think that could be a bit of an undoing for us. I think it's going to be a very difficult game. I think that the defensive midfielders, whoever it is that Paunovic decides to put in front of the back four, assuming it is a back four, are going to have to work their socks off and are going to be moving side to side quite a bit, because that Swansea team will create overloads and transition the ball really, really effectively as they have done in recent weeks. I think it's going to be a really challenging game and not one that we always do particularly well at the Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, are you at all confident, or is this one you've already written down to a loss?
Yeah, I think we'll lose. I think Swansea are very, very good possession side. They're starting to settle in now under Russell Martin. Joel Pirro's on hot form. He's been in hot form most of the season. He's settled in well. And I think we'll need to press them to stand a chance and cause mistakes, because that's where Russell Martin came undone at MK Dons and has shown frailties at Swansea, is the team making mistakes in possession and us taking advantage of that. I'd like to see a formation change. Ideally, Carroll and Puskás up front. I'm not sure, as we said earlier, if Carroll's fit enough, and it's unlikely. But I think we might need that two up front system with a back three. I wouldn't mind seeing Laurent at the back with Dan and Holmes. Personally, I think Laurent's been terrific defensively, and I don't think he's looking good next to Drinkwater. So that would help things. But we'll see. I'm just not confident in just the way the club's going at the minute, if I'm honest. I'm being really negative, but yeah, I'm not very happy with the club.
No, I think it's perfectly reasonable to be pissed off about everything, to be honest. Like, everything that's come out, I think, and Paul Kerr touched on this in our when we went over the deduction news. I think because it's come out quite slowly, there's almost like it was inevitable and people kind of knew it was coming. As he says, I think the anger for a lot of people might still be to come. God, this is good. No, let's try and not be this depressing at the end of the podcast. If we wanted to do this, we probably should have done it in the middle.
Hopefully we're surprised anyway and we get a result.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be nice. And maybe some other players will come back and we might look a better team, if nothing else. So thanks very much, Jack. Thanks very much, Nick. I will be back possibly tomorrow or Friday with a kind of elongated Swansea preview. And we will be talking to Benji, the new Reading Chronicle reporter. So that'll be very interesting. I'd like to end again with just saying that we hope that John Fleck is okay. As I said at the beginning, it sounds like he is. But very scary moment. And get better soon, John.